certainly good to see each one gathered here. Though as I look out over the audience and I see all of you with your little children that are the ages that you were when we lived here before, I'm reminded how old I am. But it is good to see each one here this morning, and certainly our purpose, while we take opportunity to talk with one another and converse and refresh friendships and such, we're here not for that purpose, but to worship God. And I hope that you gave close attention to the songs that Brother David led us in this morning, because they are songs that put our mind and our focus on Jesus and upon the laws and regulations and the guidance and the help that He gives us. And I suspect that across this nation especially, and probably across the world, there are millions more minds thinking about Christ today than they have been for most of the year. In fact, there are probably, not in this town, but there's hundreds in this town that are attending services this morning that they haven't seen inside a church building since this time last year. And there are a lot of lessons focused upon the sacrifice and the resurrection of our Savior and Lord. And it is good that we have that focus, that we think about those things. This morning, I want us to consider what the Apostle Paul talks about here in the letter to the Philippian brethren when he makes reference to those who are enemies of the cross. Now, as Brother Jimmy read for us, he starts out there in verse 17 and he says, "Follow my example, imitate me, observe those who walk according to the pattern that you've seen in us. Be careful how you walk." And then he says the reason for needing to be careful how you walk, considering the examples that are set before you and following those who are following Christ, is because there are many in this world who are walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. And I want us to consider this morning that when we talk about those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, we need to make certain that we realize some of those are even a part of the body of Christ or claim to be. And I think as we look at some of the things we're going to consider this morning, some of the things that characterize those who would be classified by Paul as enemies of the cross, unfortunately, we may see some of those characteristics and attitudes in ourselves. And with that thought in mind, I want to remind you that for the most part, I don't preach lessons because I think you need them. I preach lessons because I think I need them. Don't think I'm up here preaching and talking about these things because I think it's just you. I need these things. We all need to be reminded to be careful how we walk, because there are those even in the body of the Lord who are walking as enemies of the cross. Now, before we get into all the things that the Apostle Paul has to say and the points that he makes, I want us to turn over and look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 real quickly. And maybe you don't have to turn over there to remember what it says, because this is the things that Paul is talking about here. He mentions that these ones who are walking the wrong way have their focus on the world. And John tells us here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, that we need to make sure that we do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Notice a couple of things. When the Apostle John here talks about the world, he's not talking about the creation. He's talking about the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. He's talking about those desires that come out of our fleshly existence. We recognize there's both good and bad in the world, and John actually talks about both to some degree at least. God created the world. We know that. But there is so much in the world that is evil, those things that are of the world that are focused on our fleshly desires. As Paul describes to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And there's other passages that talk about these things of the world, the fruits of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit. And some of those even mention some things we might think of as just kind of minor, like lying and cheating and things of that nature. These are the things, these are the practices that belong in the world, and these are the things that we need to make sure that we are avoiding, that we love not the world. Because when we look at what the Apostle Paul has to say as he continues to talk here in the book of Philippians, he says that these folks who are described, he describes as enemies of the cross, have their mindset on earthly things. As we mentioned, God created the world. In fact, when we look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, we read, "In 6 days God made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And while this is an instruction to the Israelites to be careful and consider that particular day, it's a reminder that God created those things. And we read about the things of the world that are created and all these blessings, and we talk about how all our blessings come from God, and certainly we're grateful for those things. But we also recognize that sometimes the focus on the things of this world can keep us from doing the things that we ought. When Jesus talks about a certain rich man in Luke 16, he talks about a man who fared sumptuously, and he doesn't rebuke him for having much. He rebukes him because he ignored the sad plight of those that are around him, like Lazarus. Or when we read about the rich man in Luke 11 who pulled down his barns to build greater barns, Jesus doesn't talk about the wickedness and immorality and all the terrible and awful things this man did. He's rebuked because he put his focus on earthly things. He had his mind on the things of the earth instead of the things of God. The earth is not evil in and of itself, but it can pull us away from God. We can allow perfectly honorable businesses to take up our time such that we have no time for God. We can get so caught up in gathering up food and clothing and shelter, which we need and God provides for us. But we can get so caught up in that that we're minding earthly things rather than considering the things of God. We get distracted from our service to God. We want to consider that this morning, how we mind earthly things. How can one who looks upon that sacrifice of the Savior and sees the cross of Calvary, the burial, and then again the resurrection on the third day, on the first day of the week, Jesus rising up out of that grave as proof of the power of God and the deity of Christ, how we can look upon that and then turn away, turn our minds to earthly things. I'm convinced, just like Eve in the very beginning of time, it starts by looking with desire upon the things that are around us in the world. You remember the story of Eve in Genesis chapter 3? And how Satan tempted her with the forbidden fruit. God had said, "You can't eat of this tree. You can eat of all trees in the garden except this one." And I don't know, as far as I know, the serpent didn't have hands, and he probably didn't pick up the fruit, whatever it may have been, and bring it up to her nose and make her smell it or things like that, like some folks have tried to present to us in the past. But he made it look enticing, and Eve considered it. She looked at it, and she thought about it. She saw it there, and she listened to the things that were said about how it would fulfill desires and needs, not just the way it would taste, not just the refreshment that it would give, but the knowledge that she would gain. and she took it. The first step, though, was she began to admire it. She considered it. And then she wanted it. Achan. We know the story of Achan in Joshua chapter 7, how when Israel went to defeat the city of Jericho, and they were told to leave everything there, it all belonged to God. And Achan saw a few things, and he picked them up, and we read of the story of the defeat at Ai and the ultimate loss of Achan and all his family and all his belongings being stoned and cast out of Israel because of his wickedness. It all started because, as the text tells us, he saw that and he coveted it, and he looked at it, he considered it. He thought about it. He put his mind on earthly things. But what God tells us, and the psalmist David expresses this as well as anywhere, in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." If we put our focus on the things of this world, it's going to lead us away from God and away from His blessings. We need to avoid setting our mind on earthly things and thinking about the things of this world. We need to fill our hearts with those things that are the Word of God, because as the proverb writer tells us, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. "Eat and drink," he says to you, "but his heart is not with you." Oftentimes when I think about this, I remember way back when I was a little fella, my grandmother worked at a daycare. She was a dietitian there, and they used to give out little stickers and such. One of the little stickers we got from her was, "You are what you eat." And that's always reminded me of what this passage is telling us. We will become what we think, what we focus on. If your mind is set upon the things of this world and thinking about earthly things, how you look, how you dress, what you eat, where you live, who your boss is, what your bank account is, that's what you're going to be about. But if you, like the man of God, as spoken of in Psalm 1, or in Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." If your thoughts, your mind, your whole being is about the word of God and serving Him, you don't have your mind set on earthly things. They won't be pulling you away from God. Because even when you look at the things like a nice steak dinner, you'll see, "This can replenish me so I can go about doing the work that God's given me to do." Or a roof over your head, and you will look and say, "This allows me to get my rest and to recover myself so that I can get back about the business of serving the Lord." Or it gives me a place where I can go alone and I can read and study and meditate on the Word of God. When you look at the things of this world with your mind set on God, you see God in everything. If Eve had looked at that piece of fruit with her mind set on God, rather than on what it would do for her, she would have focused a little more on "thou shalt not." It might not have been tempted. If Achan had been busy about the business of defeating the people of Jericho and destroying that city as God told him to, when he looked upon that Babylonian garment and that piece of silver, he would have said, "That's God's," and moved on. But he allowed his mind to be set on earthly things. He was brought in by that desire. Because when we begin to look at the earthly things, the things of this world, and we begin to see the attraction to them, we begin to desire them. If we allow ourselves to be attracted to things of this world that are not wrong in and of themselves, but focus on them so much that they cause us to do wrong, it's not much of a step for us to move over into the things that we know are wrong in and of themselves. But Paul told the Colossian brethren, "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Achan looked and lusted, he entertained desire in his heart until it overcame him. But we have to have our minds focused on the Lord. Instead of having our minds set on earthly things, as Paul talks about those who are enemies of the cross, we need to set our minds on things above. Instead of concentrating on building a home here, we need to be working on building a place in heaven. On preparing ourselves and assuring that we are pleasing in the sight of God so that we can be with Him for all eternity. Paul told the Colossian brethren, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here's how he worded it to the Galatian brethren in Galatians 5 and verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We need to put to death the desires and attitudes that draw us back to the world. If we allow them to creep into our mind and become a part of our mindset, they will become our master and they will lead us into sin. That is certain. There's example after example throughout the ages. When we start thinking about worldly things, they take us over. We need to crucify the old man. Crucify the desires of the flesh and move forward, because we can only serve one master at a time. If for no other reason, we ought to turn our minds away from earthly things because we want to serve God as our master. You can't serve both God and mammon, or God and money. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You ever worked at a job where you had two people that thought they were in charge? It's almost impossible to please. Well, actually, it is impossible to please both of them. Guys, you ever try to date two girls at once? You don't have to shake your head as your wives are sitting next to you. You know, we can't serve two masters. We can only serve one. I'm not saying your wife is your master now. Don't get that. Dan didn't tell you that. But you can't satisfy two people at the same time. Especially when they are, to use one of them big words, diametrically opposed to one another. You can't mind earthly things and keep your focus on Jesus. When Jesus was asked about the great commandment, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Notice that word all. The command of God is not, you love me most of the time. It's not, you put your focus on me in your mind every now and then. It is, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Well, now wait a minute. That command was given to the Old Testament, into the law of Moses. We just got through in Bible class talking about how that wasn't a complete, and it was finished in Christ, and we've got a new law. Right. And what did Jesus tell them in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make God number one in your life. We can't make God number one in our life if our mind is set on earthly things. We can't mind the things of the earth We need to mind the things of God. We need to focus on heaven. When we get wrapped up in the things of the world, we lose our focus on the things of God. Many years ago, my dad came in my room one time and said, "Boy, I don't see how you can study with that noise." He called it noise, but it was some fine music I was listening to. I can't remember whether it was country or rock and roll at the time, but it was one or the other. He said, "I don't see how you can study with all that noise going on." I said, "Dad, I can. That's easy. If I want him to know this, I'll tell him." I understand a little more what he was saying way back then now. Because if Hogan's Heroes is on the TV, it's hard to do your taxes. If you're looking out the window at the beautiful bright sunshine and the green grass and the birds, and you see the garden that needs to be weeded, or you see this that you got started that needs to be done, it's hard to keep your focus on what you're supposed to be doing. My wife wonders sometimes why I keep the blinds closed when I'm and the windows closed, because if I start looking outside, I lose focus on what I'm doing. That's exactly what we're talking about here. If we don't put God first, He won't be there at all. We become the partakers of the things that we put our mind upon, that we think about. One who is focused on gathering all that he can from this world is going to become hard and unsympathetic to anyone that gets in his way. He leads us away from God. We should not mind earthly things because, at the very best, they are uncertain and unsatisfying. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. You got anything at your house that you've had for a long time? Is it still in the same condition it was when you got it? Just a few weeks ago, we took apart and broke down into just the wood pieces, piece of furniture that I built while we were living in Dallas, Texas. That would have been when Rachel was about 1 or 2 years old. Built out a good, solid 2x6s that I found on the side of the road one day. That thing was stout enough that I could stand on it. I kept a TV, and I'm talking a TV back when we had big TVs, you know, that weighed a lot. Stayed inside the house. I used it to build things on in the garage down there in Texas. It was perfect for that. It didn't look so good in the living room anymore. We took it apart because it was rotting and falling apart. JB had it in her greenhouse using it as long as she could, but it doesn't get to where it wouldn't even hold anything up. It was falling down. Why? Because it's of this world. Now, I don't know, some of y'all may be great, but how much of the money that you made in your 20s do you still have in your bank account somewhere? Or maybe even how much of the money that you made in your 20s can you still go in your house and pick up a purse or a dress or shoes or a tie or a belt that you bought with that money that you still have? Most of us know, because we can't wear the same thing we wore when we were in our 20s. Some of you are better at that than some of us. They fall apart. They deteriorate. They stretch. They bend. They break. No matter what it is, don't work to acquire wealth because it disappears. It's gone. Rather, follow the advice that Paul gave through the young man Timothy. Don't be haughty or set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. That rich fool that we talked about from Luke chapter 12, he thought he had everything taken care of. I can kick back and take it easy now. I've got plenty to take care of me. And his soul was required of him that night, and there wasn't a thing of what he had gathered up in them new barns that he could do anything with. He lost it all. Even if it doesn't deteriorate while we're here on earth, when our life ends, it ends. We listen to some blues music now. I've heard an old blues song, and I've heard it several times over the last few weeks. It's named U-Haul. One of the phrases in this song, I ain't never seen no U-Haul behind the hearse. The whole point of the song is what we have here is not ours. It's going to disappear. It's gone. It's been the case for a long time. A wise fellow that ruled over a great nation recorded in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. There's some powerful thoughts in that verse. All things are full of weariness. When you start focusing upon things, you wear yourself out trying to get them. And the more you see, the more you want. The more you have, the more you think you've got to get. When we mind earthly things, we become an enemy of the cross of Christ. You're either on the Lord's side or you're on Satan's side. You got them backwards in it. There is no third option. I've seen several comments over the past week that talked about those, and some of them were satirical. However you pronounce that word. They were satire, that's what they were. Others of them were genuine articles talking about. And one of the points they were making, especially for this time of year, is there's a lot of people that are placing their hope, they're putting their faith in God being satisfied with them, remembering Jesus died today. And the rest of the year, they're going to go about doing whatever they want to do. There is no option where we can say, I love God and I want to please God, and then go out and put our focus on doing the things of the world and ignoring God. Not even one where we can pick a couple of days out of the year and say, this is the day I'm going to get to God. He won't accept it. It's an all or nothing proposition. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The one that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's the choices. We need to refuse to be enemies of the cross. We need to follow the way that the Lord has laid out for us to follow. That means we're going to have to turn our backs upon earthly things. We're going to have to take our eyes off of the goal of things on this earth that so many people want us to get our focus on. We need to put material things in their proper place. Tools that we can use in serving God. They are gifts from God that make our life here on earth possible. Many of the things that can pull us away from God are things that God has given us, but we've put our focus on them so much that we forgot about the God that gave them to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. We need to see the earthly things for what they are, though. The blessings God has given us to help us to be His servants, to follow the pathway of righteousness, and set our minds on things above. We need to cultivate an appreciation of our relationship with Christ and the blessings that we can gain by that focus on Christ. Not just because sometime in the past we were buried in baptism and had our sins washed away and cleansed our consciences at that point, but a constant focus on Christ. What if all the people that for the past week have been focused on the resurrection and crucifixion of Jesus would still be thinking about Him next week, and 2 months from now, and 3 years from now? What if every single day we woke up with a focus on the cross and the sacrifice that was made there on our behalf? Because we are fleshly beings, we are tempted by the things of this world. The desires are there, and Satan knows that, and he does everything within his power to bring those desires out and take control of us with them. But we need to turn the tables on Satan and put our focus on the cross, upon Christ and the sacrifice that He made on our behalf. When we think about Christ, we are drawn closer to Christ. We put our trust in Christ. Paul told the Colossian brethren that those that had been buried with Christ in baptism were raised with Christ through the faith and the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And then in the next chapter, as we mentioned earlier, he said, if you've been raised with Christ, put your mind on Christ. Seek the things which are above, where Christ is. If you've been buried in baptism and put on Christ, why aren't you wearing Him everywhere? Shouldn't you be? Why is it that we save our Sunday best for Sunday? No, I'm not talking about suit and tie. Why are we wearing Christ on Tuesday and Friday night and Saturday morning and Thursday afternoon, Monday at lunch? It's all centered on Christ and His cross. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. We could spend a lot of time talking about these things and going back and looking at what the Apostle Paul says to the Colossian brethren after he talks to them about putting their mind on Christ and putting to death the old man. He gets into some specifics and some details about some things that they need to get rid of because they've been buried with Christ and put them to death. And there are some things that they need to add to their life to take the place of that. We could spend hours if we're talking about those things. But it won't do a bit of good until you pick up your Bible, read from the Word of God, and allow it to take control of your mind. That's what Paul asked of the Philippians, of the Colossians, the Corinthians, the Ephesians. That's what John asked of those that he wrote to through the inspiration of God as he sent the letters to the seven churches of Asia.
and the instruction to the early Christians to bear up under the temptation. He said, put your focus on Jesus and His death on the cross and not on the things of this world. It's real easy to think about Jesus and His resurrection this time of year. The whole world does almost. What are you going to do with Jesus tomorrow? Next week? Will it be the same thing that you're attempting to do with Jesus today? If not, can you honestly say that God is pleased because I gathered with the saints in worship on Easter Sunday? And He'll be just as pleased with me on the third Friday in July when I don't think about God or Christ. Or the last Friday of April when all the hype is over with. And I'm back to watching my videos on YouTube and reading the statuses on Facebook and reading from my current novels and waiting for the latest movie to come out so I can go watch it, listening to the new release of my favorite band, and my Bible is laying on the coffee table or underneath a stack of magazines or in the bookcase. And my mind is no longer on the cross. The song we're about to sing is a song of encouragement. What will your answer be to Jesus? Your answer today, your answer tomorrow, your answer next month to Jesus and His death upon the cross determines God's answer to you when you stand in judgment. There's a day coming when we will stand before the Creator. We will give an account how we live. Jesus said it will be the word that He's delivered to us that will judge us on that day. How we follow. A lot of people today have said they love Jesus. John said if you love her, and John recorded Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, will you answer His call for salvation if you've never obeyed the gospel, submitting yourself in obedience, giving your life to the Lord, burying the old man, rising up out of that watery grave and creature, turning away from the things of the world and setting your mind on Christ? You've done that in the past and find that you're straight. You allow the Lord to enter into your life. It overtakes you. You're going to come back to the Savior. Set your mind on the things of love. Honest and pure. Confess your wrongs to God. He's promised He is faithful and just. He will forgive you for your sins, wiping away as if they've never been done to you. A little bit of confession. Turning this to consistent time and opportunity is yours once you come. Always stand and sing for your prayer.